The exclamation point. We're going to just end it today and have a good day. And so we're looking forward to that. If you got a Bible with you today, turn with us over to the 100th Psalm. The 100th Psalm today. You know, I think we all know that Thanksgiving does not just need to be one day on a Thursday in November. But Thanksgiving needs to be a lifestyle that we live. And really, you know, today I want to talk to us today, this psalm, about having an attitude of gratitude. And gratitude is how we feel, and thanksgiving is what we do. Okay, you might feel thankful today, right? You might have heard them singing that song, and you felt blessed. You said, "Man, I've been blessed like that." And that gratitude is feeling thankful. Thanksgiving is actually doing things to show that you are thankful. And so, what we want to do is hopefully use today and use this Thanksgiving season to springboard us into living a lifestyle of being thankful. Under what God has given us. So let's look together today at the 100th Psalm, and we'll read the whole thing this morning. It said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray together this morning. Father, we bow before You today. And God, we truly ask You to do a work in our hearts, that we can be grateful for the things that You've done in our life. God, help us not to do things that steal from our thankfulness. And God, I pray that we would live a life that would show You and show the world that we appreciate the things that You've done for us and that we are a grateful people. God, we thank You most of all today for Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, Lord, that we could be a part of Your family and have a way into eternity. Lord, we love You today. We pray You'd bless our day as we gather, as the psalm said, as Your people. Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, being thankful and being grateful, having an attitude of gratitude and going forward with some of these things, before we get in, because the text, the 100th Psalm tells us some things that we can do that's going to help us to be thankful. But I wanted to, before we do that, I wanted to tell you some things that you shouldn't do. There's some don't do's that take away from our gratefulness. They steal from us that gratitude that we ought to have for what God has done for us. And so, and by the way, these things that I'm going to talk about today that we shouldn't do, I want you to know that these things are sins in our life. Now, when I say them, you might say, we might laugh them off and say, "Oh, it's not a big deal." I want you to know that these are sins that we need to be killing in our life. The number one thing you should not do if you want to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving is you should quit today. You should stop complaining. Amen? We should stop complaining. Now, if you're like me, you have a problem with the sin of complaining. I can complain about anything you want to think about or anything you want to talk about. Brother Derek can find something to complain about it about. You know, I think about the weather today. The weather is a perfect example of how people complain. People will talk about how dry it's been or how wet it's been. man, we hadn't had rain in forever, or man, it won't quit raining, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, or whatever the case may be, but we can be chronic complainers in our life. And if you want, there's nothing that says ungrateful. There's nothing that says I am not thankful more than complaining and telling about how bad it is or how better it could be or whatever the case may be. And so we must today quit complaining. Here's the thing. There are things that go with complaining that you don't notice. You know, God is in control of all things. I think everybody in here would say amen to that. We understand that God is in control. And we understand, and everybody in here would probably say that everything happens for a reason and all that stuff. Well, when we complain, here's what we say. We say, God, you blew it. You have messed up. You have done something wrong. You have went astray. And we would never say that out loud, but when we complain, that is really what we're saying, that God, who is in control, has done something that we don't like. He's done something that we would have rather not happen. And so when we complain, we tell a God who is in all control that He has messed up. You know, another thing is that God is our provider. He's the one who has provided for us today. He's the one who's blessed us with this great meal next door. I think we all should understand that truth today. He's given us the breath that we've got to breathe, and everything that we have, we got to give the glory and honor to God. And when we complain, here's what we tell our Heavenly Father, our provider. We say, you haven't done enough. You haven't done enough. You know, It's the Christmas season, and we're about to get into that. I have a rule at our house that we will not start Christmas until Thanksgiving has ended. Amen? Now, I know some people like to start Christmas back in October, but we wait till Thanksgiving is over before we start Christmas. But what's going to happen around my house, and maybe it happens to yours, maybe it's just my kids, but my kids always want more, right? They always want more, and they always maybe say, I told one of them yesterday, we were going somewhere, and someone said, they just uttered these words, and I stopped them dead in their tracks. They started a sentence with saying, it's not fair. And I just stopped them. I said, I don't ever want to hear it's not fair come out of your mouth, ever. Because we've got it more than fair. We've got it more than good. God has blessed us more than anybody you could imagine. And I don't want to hear it's not fair ever come out of your mouth again. There's some people who might could say it's not fair. But we're not those people. God's been good to us. And when we complain and we say something like it's not fair, we tell God, you haven't been fair to me. I want to tell you something today. God's been more than fair to you, and He's been more than fair to me. Man, He's blessed me beyond my wildest dreams and beyond anything I could ever ask for or imagine. And when we complain, we say, this is not good enough. My kids are spoiled, and guess what? There's some more spoiled people in here today too. Amen? I mean, we've had it good. I tell my kids sometimes if they don't have chocolate syrup on their ice cream, they think we're living like savages or something around the house. I mean, that's just uncalled for. But the reality is that blessings have caused us sometimes to be ungrateful, and you would think it wouldn't do that, but it does. So let's quit complaining today, amen? When you go to complain, remember, this is not gratefulness. This is not thanksgiving. This is something that is stealing from me the gratitude that I ought to have in my life. Let me ask you a question today as we think about complaining, and we're going to ask it throughout the message, but how good do you got it? I mean, how good do we got it today? And the answer is we've got it pretty good, and we ought to be thankful for what God has done in our life. Here's the other second thing you don't need to do. Number one, don't complain. Number two, don't compare. Don't compare. You don't need to compare your life with anybody else's life. We don't need to keep up with the Joneses. It's not about what my neighbors have. It's not about what my cousin has. It's not about what this... Stop comparing. The Bible says that when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. And let me tell you the two things that happen when you compare yourself. And neither one are good. Number one is I can look down the ladder from where I am and I can get prideful. And I could say, I got it better than them. I've done better than them. I've achieved more than them who are below me on the ladder. And by the way, I want you to know that everybody here today can look down the ladder. There are people below everybody in here today. Somebody in here don't have as nice a stuff as you have. Somebody in here, they don't have as good a job as you've got. Somebody out there has had a worse life than you've had. And so we can look down the ladder and get prideful. And I want to tell you what, that's evil. Or then we can look up the ladder and we can become ungrateful. And we can say, I don't have as much as they have. I don't have it as good as they have. I wish that I had more and I had all this stuff. And we become ungrateful. And so when we compare ourselves among ourselves, only two things can happen. I can become ungrateful or prideful. Both of them are sinful. And so I don't need to do it. I don't need to worry about what nobody else has got going on. I need to do as the Bible says to do, to mind my own business and to work with my own hands and study to be quiet and worry about that. And so quit comparing yourselves to everybody else. By the way, if you do that, you'd be a lot more happy. I mean, you'd have a lot more happiness in your life if you just said, look at what God has done for me and how much He's blessed me and not worry about everybody else. The third thing we need to quit doing if we want to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving is we need to quit coveting other things. Now, this is a challenge. This is something, and by the way, to quit complaining and to quit comparing and to quit coveting, it's going to take a supernatural work of God. We're going to have God do it for us. Because in my flesh, I want to tell you what Brother Derek's going to do. Brother Derek's going to complain. And Brother Derek's going to compare. And Brother Derek's going to covet. But in the power of the Holy Ghost, I can overcome all those things and say I can put all those sins to death. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 5, that we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. In other words, we need to kill sin in our life. Got to kill it. And he said one of those sins was covetousness, which is idolatry. Do y'all believe that covetousness is idolatry? What it means is when we begin to covet other things and we desire and long for these other things, we put them above how good... You know what God told Abraham? He told Abraham, he said, I'm your reward. I'm the reward. I'm the gift. I'm the great reward that you have. And when we covet other things, we put those things above God. You know, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first commandment says you should have no other gods before me. And the last commandment says thou shalt not covet. And I think that God sandwiched those in there together for a reason. I think he put one at one and one at ten because he said, hey, this is what it's about. When we covet things and we long for other things other than God and what he's given us, then we're putting things before him. And so we must quit coveting. And all these things, listen to me, we need today, and listen, these are simple things. Man, when you come to church and hear preachers preach, you think that they're going to be talking about the big sins. And probably none of us in here today think of complaining and comparing and coveting as big sins. But these little actions can really suck the thanksgiving out of us. It can rob us of the gratitude that we should have and the peace and contentment that we could have in our life. And so you today and I need to wage war on these things in our life and say, I will purpose to not complain. Y'all need to have somebody to help you out. My wife will let me know if I'm complaining too much. Amen. And you might need somebody to help you out and say, hey, you are complaining too much. You are comparing too much. You are coveting too much. And you need to have somebody help you, but we need to guard against these things. Now, let's look at the passage today because it tells us some things that we can do to have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It says in verse number one, it said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The first thing that we could do to have a lifestyle of thanksgiving is to make that joyful noise. You know what you can do every single day? There isn't a day that we wake up. You didn't wake up in a day today where you could not brag on Jesus for a lot of things He's done for you. Man, you could brag on Him from now until the nightfall, and we would never get over telling people what all the good things that God has done for us. We sang a song a while ago, Showers of Blessings. The girls sang a song that I have been blessed. And in that song, they mention a lot of things they've been blessed with. And today, here's what we could ask ourselves. What have you been blessed with? In what ways have we been blessed? And when we think of those ways, we can begin to tell people about how good God has been to us. Let's substitute complaining with bragging on Jesus. Instead of giving a complaint about maybe something, why don't we tell God how good He's been? You know, I must admit, we went to my sister's Monday, drove to Shreveport. Y'all know how long it takes to get to Shreveport? If you do, that's good. It took me 8 hours to get there. Because we got to the Mississippi River Bridge in Baton Rouge and they shut it down. And so it took us well over an hour just to cross the Mississippi River Bridge. They diverted everybody to 190. And so now we're all on 190 going there and it's raining. And needless to say, thanksgiving was not coming out of my mouth. Amen. I was complaining about the rain. I was complaining about the traffic. I was complaining that my sister made us come up there, right? She should have. I told her on the phone. My wife called her on the phone. I said, "You tell her." And I said a few things. I said, "I'm bringing my 9 people in my home. I said, we got Daddy with us, falling behind, driving slow." I said, "I'm having to keep him up." I said, "Y'all could have come down here a lot easier and we're coming up there." Blah, 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 blah. But guess what? Guess what? Even in that situation, the things that we had to be thankful for were abounding. Were abounding. They were many and plentiful. And man, needless to say, man, we're driving in a car. I could go on and on and on and on about things I could have been thankful for in that day and in that time. But instead, we choose to complain. So substitute that complaining with a praise and a blessing of what God has done. You know, I will tell you this too today. Remember this, that there was a time which you prayed for what you have now. There was a time when you were praying for what you have now. And so as we got it now, we need to remember there was a time when we didn't have it. There was a time when we didn't have it. And we prayed for it and God's blessed us with it. And so we shouldn't be complaining about it today because we got what we prayed for and we got what we asked for. I think about our church today. You know, our church, Oak Grove Baptist Church, you look around today, there was a time when we prayed for what we have now. And we ought to be thankful for it and we ought to praise God for how He's blessed us and how good He's been to us. And so you remember that, that God has been good to you. Another thing we got to do in that, look with me quickly. I don't like to turn around in the Bible, but look over there in the book of Philippians chapter 4 real quick. Philippians chapter 4, a very famous passage of Scripture that people don't really, I think a lot of people don't understand the whole context of the passage. Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 11, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says this. He said, "Not that I speak in request of want." The Apostle Paul was always careful. He didn't want churches to think he was trying to get nothing from them, and it's throughout the Scripture. He said, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Paul had learned wherever he was at, whatever was going on, he was going to be content in where God had him. Then he said this in verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Now, We often cling on to that verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. That's great. Let me tell you what Christ might ask you to do one day. He might ask you to be hungry one day. He might ask you to be hungry. And you know what you can do? You can claim, as Paul did, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can be hungry today. He might ask us to suffer loss. He might ask us to abound or to suffer or to be full or to be hungry. But whatever he is, he said, I've learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Folks, when we talk about contentment today, I must confess to you today that contentment is something that I have a hard time even getting my mind around. But I do want you to know this, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If you're here today and you're a chronic complainer and you say, there's no way I can leave from here and not complain, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Man, there's no way I can't look around and not compare my life with other people's lives. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Man, there's no way I can't covet other things I just want. Well, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do this. I can learn to be content and I can be happy with where God has me no matter what the case may be. No matter if they shut the Mississippi River Bridge down on the way to Thanksgiving, you can be happy with where God has you if you'll trust in Christ. Then it said this in verse 2 of the 100th Psalm. It said, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. If you want to live a life of thanksgiving, you know what you need to do? You need to get to work for Jesus. Because when we work for Jesus, it's about Jesus and it's not about ourselves. And if you want to get to work for Jesus, let me tell you where you get to work for Jesus at. You get to work for Him through the local church. And you need to find some ways that you can serve the great God that we serve through the local church. Man, there's a lot that you can do. And by the way, the Bible says to serve Him with gladness. If you're here today because you feel like you got to be, you're here today for the wrong reason. If you're not here today because you want to be here and here today because, man, God's blessed me and I just want to come and worship Him, then you're here for the wrong reason. You need to worship and serve God with gladness. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ died for my sins and He forgave me of all my sins unconditionally, wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to go to heaven one day. I think it's a pretty good deal. I'm going to spend eternity with Him. I think I could serve Him with gladness today on this Sunday. I think I could come and be happy because guess what? Today's as bad as it'll ever get for me. I'm going to die and go to heaven and be there for all eternity. I think we could serve Him with gladness. But we need to serve Him. You say, well, what can I do? There's a lot of things you can do. You can witness. You can be faithful. You can pray. You can use your talents for God. You can give. There's a lot of stuff you can do. You just need to get to doing it. And as you give and as you serve and you give to the Lord, it'll help us to be thankful and be more grateful for the things that we have. It'll direct our hearts and our minds and our thoughts toward God and how good He's been to us instead of worrying about us. We live in a very me-centered culture, and we need to be very much about Him and center our life on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done. Then in verse 2 it said this, to come before His presence. To come before His presence. You want to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving? You need to do two things every day. Number one, you need to worship Jesus Christ every day. We don't just worship Him here. We are worshiping Him here today. That's what we did. You need to worship Him every day. Every day you can tell Him how good He was to you. Every day you can praise His name. Every day you can live and bask in the presence of God. And number two, you need to have a relationship with Him. He said, come before His presence. You need to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what our purpose here is? There's several things. One is that people be saved. And then two, that you understand that you yourself can have a relationship with God. You can hear from Him and He can hear from you. You can walk with Him and talk with Him along life's narrow way. And you need to have that relationship with Him. When I get close to God, let me tell you what goes away. When I get in God's presence, complaining goes away. When I get in God's presence, comparing my situation with others goes away. When I get in God's presence, I no longer covet things that I don't have because I'm in the presence of God. And man, guess what? Everything else pales in comparison when you get in God's presence and you worship Him for who He is. And so you want to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving and worship Him and have a relationship with Him every single day. Then look in verse 3 through 5. Well, there's some things you need to know. He said, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations." You want to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving? You know what you need to know today? You need to know that the Lord is God. Let me tell you who God is today. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm talking about God. Let me tell you who He is. He is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He knows everything about us. I like that in some sense, and in some sense I don't. Amen. He knows everything about me, but He's all-knowing. By the way, He knows when I'm ungrateful. He knows when I've been in His presence. He knows when I'm right with Him and when I'm wrong with Him. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Number two, He's all-powerful. He can do anything that He wants to do. He can change your situation. He can change your life. He can do it all. He's all-powerful. He owns it all. He's not slack for nothing. There's nothing too hard for Him. And He's ever-present. You know God's here with us today? The Bible says where two or three are gathered in My name, there I'll be in the midst. And He's here with us today. He's here and He knows what's going on in your life. He's here and He knows whether we're going to be thankful today or we're going to be ungrateful. He knows these things. He's here. He's here with us. And then it says that He made us and not ourselves. You know what's something to be ungrateful when you've been made? Like He made you. He created you. Old Bill Cosby used to say, "I brought you in the world, I can take you out." Remember that? Well, God actually did that. He actually did bring you in the world and He can take you out. He's the one who gave you your personality and everything about you. He's the one who gave you your last breath. He is the one who's done all that. He made us and not ourselves. And so here we are, the creation of God, live in Washington Parish. Somebody was talking to me last week about our church and about where it was. And they told me this. They said, your church is in dead man's land. What in the world does that mean? He just meant it was in the middle of nowhere. And guess what? Here we are in the middle of nowhere, Washington Parish. Nobody knows. Nobody knows we're here. And we got the audacity to be ungrateful to God. He made us. He's blessed us. He's put us here. In the grand scheme of things, we would say, "Who are you?" You know? I tell my kids that sometimes. Who do you think you are? Right? Put people in. And we have the audacity to be ungrateful and to complain and to say God hadn't been good enough to us. Folks, we need to know who God is. We need to know who we are. We need to know who we are. We need a good reality check of who we are. And sometimes we think we're a little too big for our britches, as they used to say. And we need to understand that God is God. We're the sheep of His pasture. And then also understand that He is good. Let me ask you that question again as we come to a close today. What has God done for you? Because the Lord is good. Let me tell you what He's done for me. He saved my soul. And guess what? I'm saved today. And no matter what I do today, I'll be saved tomorrow. No matter what I do today. I can mess it up today. I can be an ungrateful, spoiled child today. You know what? I'll still be saved tomorrow. I'm still going to be his child. That's how good he is to me. He's so good. He should have kicked me to the curb so long ago that it's not even funny. He should have told Derek Denton, carry yourself out of here a long time ago. But he still loves me and cares for me. I'm still his child and I always will be. That's how good he's been to me. He saved me and I'm saved every day. And then, not only did he save me, that'd be enough. He could have saved us and left us alone and that'd be enough. But then this same great and mighty God wants to have a relationship with me. I can't believe that. Hey, some of y'all don't even want to have a relationship with me. My goodness. And God wants to have a relationship with me. I mean, hey, some people don't want to talk to me, hear from me, nothing. But God does. Yep. And then he said, I'll let you be a part of my work and what I'm doing for all eternity. You can have a part of it. And he said the same thing to you. Isn't that amazing? How good God has been to us. And then, by the way, it really is all about spiritual blessings today. It really is. It shouldn't even be about nothing else. But I'm going to tell you today that everybody here lives better than King Solomon ever thought about living. You say, oh, no, he was the king. He was one of the most wealthiest people that's ever known. Yeah, he didn't have no dishwasher, but I do. It's broke right now. My wife wants me to get her another one. He don't have a washing machine, washes clothes and dries clothes, but I do. He couldn't go over here to this little button here on the wall and say, I'm hot, I'm going to make it colder. Or I'm cold, I'm going to make it hotter. And go to a refrigerator and open it up and there's food in there, eat whatever you want to eat. I got stuff froze if you want to eat something out of there. We got stuff in our cabinets we won't never eat, right? I mean, so I got... We're not rich at all. We're normal folks. I got three vehicles sitting over there at my house. If you ever need one, keys and ignition, man, go get you one, right? I live better than Solomon lived. So don't have the audacity to be ungrateful today. Let's live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Let's be grateful for what God has blessed us with. And let's let it show in our lives. Don't complain, don't compare, don't covet. Be grateful to the great God in heaven who's blessed us with blessings untold and be thankful for Him. Amen. Why don't you stand with us today?